Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. While you're standing, go ahead and get your Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you guys so much. Romans chapter 12. We don't have to. We can do it next Sunday night or next Sunday night. We're just slated to complete this. I'm sorry. I heard somebody. Did I hear someone say my name? Okay. Praise God. Maybe it's that preaching back in the electric room. Amen. Praise God. I mentioned last Sunday night about the Sunday school class providing these bottles of water, and whosoever gives just a cup of cold water shall not lose the reward. And I just made mention what kind of reward in heaven would there be for a Dr. Pepper. I got a Dr. Pepper tonight. I don't feel quite right drinking that from the pulpit, but I will put that in the refrigerator. Enjoy that burning after you preach sensation. Amen. Thank you, whoever brought that to me. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, not the same role, not the same position, not the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We fit together. All the members make the body, but each member has a connection with every other member through the body of Christ. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And I just want to stop there. We're members with gifts in the body so that body can function. And it is true, a body does minister to itself, but most of the time a body is doing something else. And as members of this body, we do minister one to another. That's a big part of it. But that body also does something else. It reaches out to those that are not yet in the body, the lost and the dying. We're going to close tonight. What on earth are you in the church for? And in quick summary tonight, I'm going to talk about your place in the body. Every member has its place in the body. Father, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit in the house. We thank you for hungry hearts, hearts that are hungry for your presence and your nearness. Jesus, truly you purchased the church with your own blood. We give you honor tonight by talking about your body, the body of Christ. And Lord, anoint me tonight as we complete this series. And though the series may be completed, Lord, may the effects of it only begin as folks find their place in the body of Christ, ministering one to another and to the lost around us. Thank you, Lord, for the sense of your presence all day long. God bless your people. Bless them in the week ahead. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated. Many times at the beginning of the year, I talk about church membership, the physical membership in a church. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But I do want to use as an illustration something that has kind of puzzled me over the years. I've been a bit confused about it. But in the beginning of the year, making a push for church membership or an invitation of church membership, we've always had folks that have attended regularly, perhaps even paid tithes of this and that. But when it came time to accept church membership, they said, no, we don't want to be members. It's always puzzled me a little bit. Why wouldn't they want to be members? And I think what it is, I've respected their decision, but I think the reason they didn't want to become members is they realized something more clearly than even many folks who do become members. It's not a light thing to become a member. And I think what they realize that membership in the church is completely different than membership in most any other thing. Let me explain. Some years back, we were members of the YMCA. And so they've been trying to get us to come back and been sending these emails with all these discounts. And every one of those emails, they talk about all the benefits, all the perks, all the privileges. I mean, you have access to the finest equipment. You have your own personal trainer. You get a discount on this, you get a discount on that, and a discount on this. And what they're saying is to be a member is to have special privileges. To be a member is to get special perks, and to be a member is to have somebody that will serve you when you walk in there. They'll help you. See, that's the way membership is in most things. How many's ever been to an airport and you see these doors there? They're special VIP lounges, and it says members only. Ever seen those? I've never been in one. But you know what? The thing is, to be a member of that means you're going to be treated like royalty. There's somebody in there that's going to get you whatever you want, be helpful to you. And it all comes about, you paid your dues, so you become a member, and you get the perks, you get the privileges, and you get the service. That's the way it is. I've never belonged to a country club. That's the way it is in a country club. But membership in the church isn't like that. The closest I could get is membership in the armed forces. You ever heard somebody say, I'm a member of the armed forces? That ain't about perks. That ain't about privileges. If you're a member of the armed force and you're a private, you don't look at that sergeant and say, hey, get me a glass of water. He ain't there to serve you. And that's the closest I can get, because membership in the church, membership in the body, isn't about privileges. It's not about perks. It's not about somebody serving me. It's completely different. And so I think I get why some folks don't want to become members. It's because they realize that membership in the church is a different thing. Membership in the church is about serving, not being served. Let me give you a few quotes, and these are real life things that people have said. Someone comes, they visit a church, and they say, what does your church have to offer my family? You see, they got the wrong idea of membership. Here's another quote I found. Some folks say this, you know, we give a lot to this church. We should be able to come here and hear the kind and genre of music that we want to hear. Preacher, you got to remember something. We pay your salary. And if you don't quit preaching on that, you know what's going to happen. If you start that particular ministry, I'm not going to pay my tithes any longer. Do you see how it's a wrong concept of membership? Here's how they view membership in the church. And this, because of that, that's how they view tithing and offering. They view tithes and offerings as dues that they pay so they can get the perks and the privileges. I want you to know, tithes and offering are not dues. Tithes and offerings are not bribes. Tithes and offerings isn't something to use in reward or punishment of the leadership of the church. Tithes and offerings are an act of worship, recognizing the goodness and superiority of the Lord. Amen? Membership isn't in the church isn't, I'm here, bless my socks off, cater to my every need, provide everything, sing my song, dance at my tune. No, membership is far greater than that. It's being able to be a part of this great body of Christ that makes a difference in our world. Amen. Membership in the church, in the body, means that everybody has a role. Everybody has a function. Now look what Paul wrote. Even though each member of the body benefits from being in the body. That's true. My hand benefits by being attached to this body. It gets blood from my body. It gets nutrients. But even though each member may benefit by being a part of the body, each member is in the body rather to benefit the body, and in benefiting the body to be a part of what that body does. Not only does the hand just benefit the body. It benefits other parts of the body, doesn't it? Amen. You used your hand to put a sock on your foot. I'm sure your foot was appreciative, right? And so when one member of the body ministers to another member of the whole body is ministered to. That's what membership in the church is all about. And you know, sometimes we get the idea, and it is true, we need everybody. Please don't mistake what I'm saying. We need everybody. But sometimes we can get an idea that the health of the body depends upon me as a member. In truth, the health of the member depends upon its association, its connection, its being a part of the body. Amen. My hand will become lifeless if it's severed from my body. Amen. Amen. If a hand doesn't grasp, if an eye doesn't see, if an ear doesn't hear, if a stomach doesn't digest, if a tongue doesn't talk, if a leg doesn't walk, there's something wrong with those members. But oh, if they are in their place, if they are connected to the body, if they're doing what they were designed to do, there's life. Things happen. There's vitality. And thus being a member, being a part of the church is really different than what most people believe. So let me summarize what I've said so far. Being a member of the body is not about being served. It's about serving. Being a member of the body is not about privileges. It's about responsibilities. Being a member of the body is not about receiving. It's about giving. Being a member of the body is not about benefits. It's about being a blessing. You know, I had this, and I have a lot of weird thoughts. But you know, we have this teaching today that if you're a part of the body of Christ, you're a Christian, everything's always going to go well for you. And I had this weird thought. Did you know, I'm talking about Christ, literally, when he was on earth with that physical body. Did you know it didn't always go well for the members of Christ's body? Did it? They put spikes through his hands. And it may not always go well for us as members of his body. But thank God we are members of his body. Hallelujah. However it goes. Amen. And admittedly, even though we're not in the body to be blessed, we're not in the body to be catered to, being a part of his body is the most fulfilling, blessed life you can live. I'm not a part of this body to be served. I'm a part of the body to serve. But I'm telling you, being a part of the body and serving is the most fulfillment you will find in this life. You're living for something bigger than you are. So all of our study has been about, and I'm not sure anything new tonight, I'm just bringing it to a close, but our study has been about being a true member of the body of Christ, a functioning, serving member that meets the needs of the body. And when the body has those kind of members, that body can do what Christ wants to do in this earth. And so in just quick summary here, we didn't have the material last week, and that was my fault, not Brother Durst. But first of all, here's where we've been on this. We talked about your gift. If you're a born-again believer, here's your gift. If you're a born-again believer, the Spirit has given you ability. We should have that one. Do you see that, brother? Yeah, there it is. Your gift is the special ability to fulfill a role in the body of Christ and make a difference by serving others. We've been talking about not the apostolic gifts, the positional gifts like being a prophet, being an evangelist. We've not talked about those. We've not talked about the spiritual gifts in worship, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, gifts of healing. We've not talked about that. We've talked about the inclinational gifts. We can call them the motivational gifts. And in just quick review, here they are. We've talked about each of those. There's the gift of prophecy. There's the gift of teaching. We're not going to go into these again tonight. There's the gift of service. Here's some more of them. There's the gift of exhortation. There's the gift of giving. There's the gift of organization, which is the gift of administration. There's the gift of mercy. There's the gift of loving people. There's the gift of patience. There's the gift of passion. There's the gift of prayer. There's the gift of care for the needy. There's the gift of hospitality. And God has given each born-again believer a gift. Secondly, we talked about your passion. Your passion is that particular desire you have in your heart for some place, some ministry, some group of people, but it's a desire you have specifically on how to put your gift to a use in the body of Christ. And then we talked about your motive. This isn't to assuage an ego. It's not to make someone feel good. Our gift is given to us so we can do two things, so that we can love people and glorify God. Amen. And that should be our motive. Our motive should be to glorify God and to love people by serving them. And then we talked about your temperament. Your temperament is your uniqueness. Everybody is different. We have different personalities. I told him in Sunday school, somehow we got on this from another angle. I said, my gift is teaching, but my temperament is such is please, please. I have nothing against kids. I've had four of them. Got six grandkids. I love kids. My gift's teaching, but please don't put me back there with the young kids to teach a Sunday school class. I'd pull my hair out. That's what I do. And it's not my temperament. It's not my uniqueness. Give me teenagers or college kids. That's what I like. And then there's your maturity. Your maturity. And we all need to mature, and not always does physical maturity and spiritual maturity coincide. I've seen some people that are, you know, they're way up in years. They're even older than I am. That's pretty old. And they're still not growing up in Christ. I've seen others, they're young folks, but they've sought Christ. They love him. They've matured a lot. And there's some positions you put matured folks in. And there's some positions that if you've not matured there, it would kill you and kill others if you were put there. And then there's your vocation we talked about. Many of you, because of your vocation in life, your gift coincides with that, your spiritual gift, and you're able to use your vocation in serving God. And then there's your season of life. And I'm going to go into all of these again. There's where you're at in life. Amen. There's things that young people do. There's things that older people do. The point is, you never get too old to serve God, and I really don't think you're ever too young to serve God. Amen. Brother Joe was here this morning, pastor, and he said they always handed out coats every year to their community, and he's talking about how his children, real young, that was a part of their ministry. They loved handing out coats. So you're never too young, you're never too old, whatever your season, but your season may determine where you serve in the body of Christ. And we've talked about all those. That's in review. And tonight, I want to talk briefly about your place. Where do you fit in the body of Christ? You see, Jesus has been clear. His disciples should bear fruit. And the way we bear fruit is when we find a fit for our gift. We find a place where we can use our gift in the body of Christ. And that's when we bear fruit. I told you last week, and I just want to, because I can now show you, but I told you last week that with your gift, you may find your place in a program. Using your gift, you may find your place in a program. That is a ministry we've already got running in the church. It's already functioning. It's a regular organized thing, and you may say, that's where I fit. I fit in that ministry. I fit in kids class ministry. I fit in outreach. I fit in choir. And so your gift may fit in a place. Secondly, I told you that your gift may fit a project. Whether we have glow in the dark one time a year, whether we go to Nicaragua and build another church, amen, your gift fits a project. A project is something that when it's completed, you're done. Okay? So your gift may fit a project. Your gift may fit a prompting. Not only do you have a gift, but God keeps prompting your heart to meet a specific need. Amen. It just stirs you every time you think about that situation. Something in your heart just stirs you to want to do something about. The church doesn't have an organized ministry to do that. We haven't started a project to do it, but you have a prompting in your heart. Your gift may also fit a position. A position. A position is for those that have a particular ability to lead and a maturity to lead and other people to follow. And let me say this. Positions are good, and there's a message I never preached yet, but I may refer to when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But I have found some people are interested in the title and not the towel. Right? If you have a real heart about ministry, it's not about a title. It's about the towel, serving, meeting a need. And so we covered all of those things. So how are we going to bring this all together tonight? Well, first of all, I want to ask some questions. And I don't know if you realize a lot of those things I just reviewed, they're on the front of this. I'm going to explain it in just a moment. Well, let me just pause to explain it now. You don't need to lift up the cover page yet, but behind the cover page is a survey. There's lots of surveys out there. Some of them go from 75 questions to hundreds of questions. And that's just to help you determine your inclinational, motivational gift. It's self-explanatory, and you can do that at home. But this front page is something for you to tabulate, to you to summarize. And when you get it done, the bottom half of this, you could turn in to me. You can put it in an offering plate. You can hand it to me personally. You can slip it under my office door. You can hand it to one of the board members and ask them to hand it to me. But you start this tabulation sheet by asking some questions. What is my gift? The survey will help you with that. What is my gift? What is my passion? And that's where I want to pause right here. And here's some questions you can ask when you're filling out, what is my passion? What do you have a burden to do? What do you have a vision to do? What would you really like to do or think you would like to do that you know would meet a need? Amen. What would you do if you had the opportunity? Maybe you just never had the opportunity, but you say, if I had this opportunity, I would do this. What would you like to do that you know would benefit others? You can see how it would help others. What characteristics do you have? This would be moving on to some other things, but what characteristics do you have that would help you fulfill that ministry? And so you can work through that. What is my gift? What is my passion? What is my motive? I want you to really think about this. And by the way, as someone involved in full-time ministry, I must revisit that over and over again. What is my motive? You know, the motive is so, so very important. Amen. It'll change the way you teach a Sunday school class. It'll change the way you sing a special. It'll change everything about it. What is my motive? Why am I singing tonight? Why am I leading songs tonight? Why am I picking up trash in the parking lot? The motive. And then, right, what is your temperament? That's your nature. We're not going to go into that again. But what is my level of maturity, season of life, vocation? Those are very personal questions. That's why you don't return the upper half. And then when you have filled all those out, then you begin to think about, where do I fit? That's why I went into that program and the project and the prompting and the position. Where do I fit in the church? Now, I want to do this briefly before we quit tonight. And this isn't normal. This is the normal way we preach or teach. We're just wrapping this up this evening. But I want to give some possibilities just from talking to people and just from thinking some possibilities. It's not limited to this. These are just some possibilities for ministry. Now, let me say this. In some of these, we have folks already doing some of this. These are just areas we need help with. We need more people involved in. Some of these, nobody is doing anything. Here's the first one. I think I've given this to Brother Mike too. Hospitality greeters. Now, you know, on Sunday morning, we have Sister Carol. She does a great job with those bulletins. She's so friendly, you know, and we need that because on Sunday morning, the first greeter is me, and so we need somebody really friendly afterwards, you know, and she does that. But not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we need folks that are friendly. You know, it's all in how you do it. You know, you don't shake somebody, a visitor's hand and say, I know you'd rather be a lot of other places, but we're glad you came tonight. You know, there's got to be friendliness there. And then there's other things they can do. We won't talk about all that now, but get them a visitor's card. Get that information to who knows. But that's a real ministry. I mean, some of you are really friendly folks. Your spouse doesn't know it, but you're really friendly. And this could be your ministry. Here's something else. Reaching the parents and guardians of our transported children. And doesn't mean that we haven't done anything to try to do this, or I know Sister Ruth worked with it, and I've worked with it, but it's been a real burden of mine. I see, and I'm glad they do, make no mistake, but I see some parents that come and drop off their children, and they'll never come to church. We have van fulls and bus fulls of children, and their parents have never come. And my burden is that not that we just reach the children through our children's ministry, but we reach the parents and guardians. Somebody is gifted to do that. Here's something else. taking responsibility for keeping church vehicles clean. Now, again, we have folks that help us do that from time to time. And Sister Hurst had made that her ministry, and she's getting a little tired. And let me tell you, it has to be a gift. It has to be a gift. Have you seen some of these vans after a youth trip? But we purposely got vinyl interior instead of carpet. But I've been there where you have to take a putty knife to scrape up the goo. Yeah. And, you know, and it would be such a blessing if somebody said, I am gifted to keep vans clean. Bring your pressure washer for the inside and your sandblaster for the outside. And I mean, somebody could do that. Not just once time or two times, which that would be a blessing, but it could be your ministry just to keep the vans clean. But nobody's shouting now. We need to sing that blood-bought church thing some more. That's what you're doing. You're thinking about it. You're saying, yeah, that could be it. That's a great ministry. Yeah, we get things all turned upside down. I mean, here is this guy. He gets to heaven. I've preached to thousands. I'm ready for my reward. Boy, it's going to be a big reward. I've preached to thousands. And right in front of him is this guy standing there. And it's announced. What did this fellow do? He was a church van cleaner. And the Lord says, well done, and gives him this huge trophy. And then the guy that preached to thousands, he gets this. You never know how things look from heaven's point of view. Here's something else. Reaching out to the community with events such as a dinner for first responders. Some way to bridge a connection with the community around us. Here's another one. Transporting guests from the nursing home. Now listen, I'm not trying to take anybody's job away from them. We just need more of this. Brother Aaron picks up Dale Leitner. That's my uncle. Picks him up every Sunday morning. Well, Brother Leitner goes around the nursing home trying to get folks to come with him. And the other Sunday morning, he had more than, I'm not trying to be unkind, but a lot of them come with wheelchairs. So you don't need just space for passengers, you need space for wheelchairs, right? And there was more cargo and people than could fit on his big Suburban. And so this morning, Brother Aaron was sick, and so he called me up. He said, you're going to have to go today. And I'm just thinking of my uncle. So I'm in my truck, my S10. And I pull up and park out front and go in there. And he had two others with him in wheelchairs. He said, hey, they're going with us. I said, I am so sorry. Aaron's sick and I'm in my truck. And he looked around. And he said to one of them, or both of them, he said, which one of you wants to lie down in the bed of the truck? And neither one of them wanted to do that. Okay. And you know, it was so sad to have to tell people they couldn't come to church. What a ministry. And then taking care of mechanical or handyman needs for widowed, single mothers, and others. Listen, there's some great mechanics and everything like that in business, great businesses. I'm not faulting that. But sometimes I just get this feeling that widows and single mothers and others really get it taken advantage for. And I know how those things work. I had a friend recently had just put new brakes all around his vehicle. And one of them was kind of squeaking a little bit, so he took it to another brake place. And they came back and said, well, you know what your problem is? You need complete brakes over all of your vehicle. And new cylinders and everything, they told him. And he had just had it done. Just a week before, or 2 weeks before, whatever it was. And sometimes there's not the means, and we got men with the ability, they could be a great blessing and helping in those areas. And oh, the list is just, it's just endless. Here's another one. Making possible a Mother's Day out. Someone, I believe, has already got a burden for this. They were telling this in the young married class, and that would be someone that would say, hey, on this day, I'll watch whoever's kids, and you, mom, would, you know, they the moms don't go out together, but they go to the grocery store or go to do this or whatever, something they need to get done, and know their kids are taken care of. There's only one problem having a Mother's Day out. Soon the fathers would demand their own day, Father's Day out. Anyway, here's another ministry. Volunteer, Vaughn Hall, or Brock Building Custodian. And our deacons and our board members, we watch over our buildings and our campus, and we have those that minister to the church buildings down here and everything. And it's of such that the logistics are, you know, you just can't pay to have a custodian for every building. And so it'd be wonderful if someone would just volunteer, say, that's my building. I'll keep it clean. Brock Building, the workers back there Wednesday night, they teach all night. They wrestle with the children, and then they have to go clean the restrooms, okay? It'd be great if somebody said, that's my, remember this title or towel thing? That's one of those towel ministries. No kidding. And then here's another thing, a mentor or a discipler of newcomers. When we have folks come that come to the Lord, and that's what all of this is about. Did you know that? We want to say folks come to the Lord. But it's so wonderful to be able to join them with a mature Christian that you know is going to mentor them. We have some that's already doing that. It's a tremendous thing. Open up their homes, have Bible studies, begin to disciple them. That is a tremendous, tremendous. It's so needed, too. You know, we preach up here. We give an altar call. Folks come up and get saved. But they need discipled. They need help. They need strengthened. And then to mentor children and different ones. Let's just move on. Mentor a fatherless or motherless child. This is sad. It's more so in our fragmented society. But some young men are growing up without no idea whatsoever of what it means to have a father figure in their life. Someone in the church could be that father figure. Jail, prison ministry. God's already talking to folks about that. How many knows Jesus said, you remember that? He said, you never visit me in prison. They said, when were you in prison and we didn't visit you? He said, if you haven't done it to one of these, you've not done it unto me. What a needed ministry. A liaison to public schools. I know folks from churches that have started ministries to the kids of public schools. And I know there's legalities and different logistics involved in that. But that's a wonderful ministry. Another ministry we're looking at, God's already talking to folks' heart, to be a tutor, to reach children through tutoring them. I'm talking about tutoring them with their schoolwork, their education, and then building the relationships to be able to lead them to the Lord. To work with those who have had addictions or have addictions. This is so important. And again, I feel so limited. I believe in the power of God and all that. But the Bible teaches there's a need for sanctification because of the old habits of this flesh. And I don't know a lot about those kind of addictions and things. You know, here's the wonderful thing I can say tonight. We have many in this congregation. You one time were addicted to things like alcohol and drugs, and Christ has set you free. And God could really use you to minister to folks who struggle with that. And if there's any, listen to me, I'm about done, but if there's any inclination in your heart that this is something you might want to do, get this down. Here's the date, March 21st, Patterson Park Church of God, is that correct? They're having a seminar to train folks in churches to help those with addictions. If there's any in your heart at all, you think that's something I would like to do is to help folks, especially those that get saved and struggle with addiction. It's March 21st. Let's see if I can. It's celebraterecovery.com. Celebraterecovery.com. And to help those who have addictions. I'll just give one more. The list is endless. You'll have to add to the list. But outreach at special events. We did something great years ago. I thought it was great. And someone came to me. Trotwood had different festival days back then. And they said, Can I set up a pavilion there at that festival and just offer free water and information to our church? And he was a perfect fit for it. I went up there, and people would walk by. He was friendly. They'd come talk to him. They'd get a free bottle of water, and he would talk to them about the Lord, give them information to the church. But to have an outreach at special events. Is God talking to you? Are you hearing things that God maybe has as a place for you to use your gift and fulfill your passion? And so, giving all those things consideration and filling out the survey, Then you can do the bottom part. Just put your name, and these are age brackets. You don't have to be specific here. These are age brackets, and because that's the season thing. You write down what you feel like your gift is, your temperament. Write a little note here about your passion. And then there's two questions there. An existing ministry of which I would like to be a part. That's what you would really like to do. And then a ministry that does not yet exist, which I would like to be a part. So either we've already got that ministry, you just want to join it, or we don't have that ministry, you want to be a part. Now, you got to understand something. Overnight, we cannot come back next Sunday night, and I'm able to say, okay, here's your ministry. We got this place for you and that place for you. That's a logistical impossibility. You keep pursuing this. You keep praying. You keep seeking God. You keep developing, and it will happen. Because, see, really, it's not the pastor that puts the member in the body where it should be. It's Christ that does that, right? Hopefully he can use me to be helpful to that, but it's Christ that does that. I'd love to see a jail ministry. That's going to take some research. That's going to take getting a hold of the right people, all of that. And so you fill out this, and again, you take this bottom part and put it under my door, put it in the offering plate, hand it to me, however you like to get it to me, and I will be looking at those, and we'll be praying together. I want to close with this as the music comes. But a pastor of a large church told this story about a young woman. Her name was Sammy. And Sammy loved the Lord. She would get into every service, and she'd sing, and she'd worship. And it was really odd. It was really odd because, and Sammy was kind of, you know, puzzled by it too, because older saints in the church kept coming up to this young lady, Sammy, and saying, you know what? I feel like God has a ministry for you in our worship team. And she was confused by that, but so many people told her that she decided she'd try out. They had auditions for their worship team, and so it came time for her to try out. And she got up there, and the musicians played a little bit, and of course there were all the other tryouts and the other members of the worship team. And she just belted out, and she was nervous, and she was anxious, and she tried to belt out the song. And it just hurt everybody's ears, and they're embarrassed for her, and she's embarrassed. And she, when she got done, she's tearful, and she started just to leave, but the worship leader said, hey, wait a minute, could you stick around till everybody's done? And it was evident she couldn't be a part of the worship team singing. And so after everybody had left, the worship leader said to her, he said, look, I just want to talk to you. I want to ask you something, two things. First of all, what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And secondly, what is it that you really like doing? And they began to talk a little bit, and he said, well, you know, you're here to try out for worship. What is it that you can do? Because it was evident she couldn't sing. And she kind of laughed. She said, you know, when I was a little girl, my granddad taught me how to play the accordion. And she kind of just laughed. Accordion? I mean, that's kind of an antiquated instrument, isn't it? Yeah. I'll tell you how antiquated it was. I used to play one a little bit. That's pretty antiquated. And the worship leader, instead of laughing, you know what he said, you know, bring that to church next Sunday, and after service, play me something. And after service, everybody went home. Sammy played the accordion for the worship leader. And he was astounded. He had never heard music that way, especially of a megachurch. And he said, this probably never happened before. He said, you just made the worship team. I want you to bring your accordion. Can you think of people astounded? The next worship team got up to sing in that megachurch, and here's this accordion player. She played the first week, and people, they just kind of perked up. He said, the next week, he said, you're playing a special. And she got up. Not only did she play an old instrument, she played a real old song. How many members were marching to Zion? Beautiful, beautiful Zion. She got a hold of that accordion. She started playing, we're marching to Zion. It brought that crowd to tears, to their feet. It moved them. Amen. You see how her gift and her passion, it moved her to just the place where she could be a blessing. And that will be true with all of us. Your gift and your passion will move you to your position in the body of Christ where you can be a blessing. Let me say one more thing. This is for everyone. Please hear me across the building. You may be here tonight and you don't even know Christ. Yet something in your heart says, I'd love to be something parter, a part of something bigger than my own petty, miserable self. Let me hear just one statement, and it's not original. I don't know where I heard it, but I want you to hear what I have to say across the building. Not only someone that doesn't know the Lord, but you hear you've tried before. You might have tried to serve God and failed. You might have tried to be a part of something and failed. You know, it's a miserable thing. I know people that really can sing, but it's intimidating to get up here under the French fry lights. How many can testify to that? And they can sing, but they've tried to sing a solo one time, and they got off key because of nervousness, and they'll never get up again. They'll never try again. And not just with singing, in a lot of different places in the church. They did it once, and they failed, they faltered for different reasons, and they've never tried again. And here's the thing I want you to hear, and again, it's not original with me, I don't know where it comes from, but don't let your setback cause you to sit back. Don't let your setback cause you to sit back. God's got a place for you. Amen. Could you stand? Take these home with you. I'll be looking forward to the bottom half as you pray, seek the Lord. Amen. He's the one that places, but He's using this to facilitate and bring you to that place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad to be saved tonight? What a wonderful thing, the body of Christ. Did you know the body of Christ isn't just right here at Union Road? The body of Christ spans the globe, spans every tongue, every nationality, every culture, every time. The body of Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful when the body of Christ in unison gets to heaven? Won't that be a wonderful thing? But until we go to heaven, we are His hands. We are His eyes. We are His ears. We are His feet. That's why I want to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. If you want to be a part, I want you to just lift your hands toward heaven. Say, oh God, use me. Lord, use me. Help me to find my place, my role. I'm not saying many don't know that and aren't being used, but every one of us, every born-again believer ought to be a part, ought to have a role, ought to be functioning in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, how you save us, how you deliver us. Lord, how you change us, how you give us a different motive, how you give us a passion, Lord, to live beyond ourselves, a passion, Lord, for something beyond selfish inclination. Hallelujah. Thank you. How you use folks, Lord, to rescue lives, to turn a child around, Lord. Lord, to help a home. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not asking our music to sing it, but as soon as I close this message, that song just hit me like this, keeps coming to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use it, read the Bible. He used a little damsel. He used a shepherd boy. Amen. He used a woman that most folks didn't think she had much ability, or that she wasn't very clean, or this and that. Amen. Did you know if he can use anything, he can use me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's going to be the altar call tonight. Amen. Just come to say, Lord, use me. Help me to find my place. Help me to find my function. Help me to fulfill my role in the body of Christ. If that's your heart's cry tonight, would you come and fill the altars? Amen. Just say, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. I want to live for something bigger, larger than myself. I want to live, oh God, to make a difference in this world and in eternity, oh God. Use me, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Hallelujah. God, I'm offering myself. Hallelujah. Lord, just save me. I'm not going to let my setback cause me to sit back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, use me. Lord, don't. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, God, there's surely, surely there's a work. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. I appreciate the altar being full tonight. Offer yourself up to the Lord. Offer yourself up to the Lord. Hear me, those of you that have gathered here. If you've not been living in unity with Christ, you've not been following Him, don't waste your life. Don't ruin your life. Not only is it detrimental to you, but you'll never make the difference that God puts you on earth to make. Amen. Give your heart wholly to the Lord tonight. Tell Him, Lord, I want to completely follow You. I want to wholly follow You. I give You my heart. I give You my life. I give You my future. Lord, take me. Place me in Your body, Lord, where I can make a difference. Place me, Lord, where I can fulfill a role that'll change somebody's eternity. Hallelujah. Why don't you just offer yourself up to the Lord? If you're in the altar tonight and there's been a failure, you tried and you failed, and you tried and something went all right. Amen. Say, Lord, I'm not going to let my setback cause me to sit back. God, help me. Give me the strength. I'll get back up. I'll try again. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
There's no work that I can do.
Oh, offer yourself to the Lord. Offer yourself to Jesus. Hallelujah.
It's above.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can sense you are, but offer yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord afresh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh,
Lord, use me. Oh, hallelujah.
Surely there's a work that I can.
It's not that He may use you just in spite of your experiences. He can use you even because of those experiences. And with those experiences, you may have sat where people in need are sitting tonight. Because of those experiences, you can help them. Hallelujah.